Good morning. 00 hours. Clear. 28 degrees. Good morning. 01 hundred hours. Clear. 26 degrees. Good morning. 02 hundred hours. Clear. 25 degrees. Good morning. 03 hundred hours. Clear. 23 degrees. Good morning. 04 hundred hours. Clear. 24 degrees. Good morning. 05 hundred hours. Clear. 23 degrees. Good morning. 06 hundred hours. Clear. 23 degrees.
I get it. That's Sounds good. And, it's been a very, very long time since I've, and I don't even remember when I got quoted. But, I put in concrete 2005, maybe 2006. I think it was 2005. So it's been 20 years since I put in concrete. And, so it would have been, it probably needed to be done then. So I was probably on the, I probably had stretched out the, last time I had had the, crust asphalt put in there. So I'm guessing back in the 90s. So I don't recall what the hell the guy charged me. I do remember him though, little old guy. Looked like a little old, like Italian guy right off the boat, like Mario. Pulled up. Yeah, you never know what you're going to get when these guys come knock on your door. You're like, oh, can I see, like, something you've done or, like, a portfolio or, you know. I mean, granted, it's a pretty straightforward process, right? Like, they're kind of just putting the stuff down and packing it down. But the fact that he told me I could pay him after was the reassuring factor that I was like, all right, go for it. But, yeah, I don't know really what these things go for either. I got a couple quotes and, you know, I priced out material myself and I was like, all right, well, this is going to cost, you know, just $5,000 of material for how much I need. And then he's like, we'll do everything for, you know, this much. I was like, all right, well, roll the dice, and it paid off.
Yeah, I had the same thing when I got my garage demoed. The guy gave me a quote of 30, what the hell was it, 33 to demo my garage and bring in a great big, 40-yard dumpster and make it all go away. And he wanted money up front. You know, he wanted half up front, half when it's done. And that made me twitchy, right? Because I'm cutting the guy a check for, you know, $1,500, $1,600, whatever the hell it was, before they do anything. So he didn't want it until he got there, dropped off the 40-yard dumpster, and all that. Then he collected it. Then turned his, and him and his guys showed up at that time. So I mean, I had a reasonable assurance they were gonna do the job, and they busted their butt, man. I'll tell you what. But it always makes you wonder when you're dealing with these Craigslist type people.
NABF. And I tried doing homework on them, and it's like, I mean, I'm sure in 2005, that guy, right, you're not finding any information on the internet about him. But I tried finding stuff too, and they had business cards and a QR code and whatnot, but like, they incorporated in 2022, not BBB accredited. Facebook had like two posts on it. Their website had like nothing on it. I'm like, oh boy, what am I getting myself into? But they were really nice guys. So a little bit of faith in humanity restored because I've heard so many horror stories. I mean, the guy that built my house, he's been in court a million times for taking people's money and not finishing their house. So I mean, it happens all the time. And I was like, well, we'll see what happens. But, yeah, if they want all of it up front, that's a red flag.
20 degrees.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, and they always say, well, you know, we got to do this for this reason, that. No, you don't, really, because I can't go anywhere. You know, I can't disappear. You know where I live. You know where my house is. You know where you did the work. You can take pictures, slam dunk in court. I can sign something with you stating, you know, you're going to do this and I'm going to pay this. You know, I can make it a slam dunk for you. But you, on the other hand, you know, even if I sign a paper or anything like that, you vanish into the wind. I can't prove who you are, you know, or something like that. I can't figure out where you're at, who you are. I mean, you know, good luck. And then if you're a scammer, oh, well, I'm not. Yeah, well, I don't know that. But if you are, you've probably done it 100 times. So if somebody does catch up with you, I'll be on a long list to get my money back. So I figure the homeowners always have to be disadvantaged. So when they cry about, you know, oh, we got to get at least, you know, this much up front or something like that, I'm like, oh, hold on a second. No, you don't really, you know. And so I don't know. You know, I mean, I'm sure for every time that, you know, the guy doing the job has a horror story about trying to collect his money, you know, I'm sure there's 50 times where the homeowner didn't get what they were supposed to get. So, I don't know. But, now, when I did my concrete, I did it. It was a legit company. You know, they brick and mortar, Pino and the Sons. And they lived, the guy that owned it, or the son of the guy that owned it, lived across the street from a friend of mine, and he just, you know, he had done work and everything, so I had no problem there. I was pretty much a sure thing. Now, did he do some things wrong? Yeah, he did. He pitched the drive near my garage all wrong, and I come to find out, you know, quite a ways later that that was going to be a problem, because it was rolling off aggressively to the side, but that kind of built up with vegetation and the ground and everything like that kind of built up. So now it couldn't roll off to the side there as quickly, and they couldn't do that. It rolled backwards up into the garage. So, I mean, the obvious solution is keep that side dug down with gravel and all that stuff. I got to do that, as a matter of fact, before my new garage, or before or shortly after I get my new garage built, make sure that I don't start having water trying to push up against the door in the front. The bummer about the concrete is I got so many buddies that do concrete and know how to do concrete that, you know, it would be a very low labor expense, and, you know, let's buy a bunch of beer and melt barbecue and we'll knock this out kind of thing in a day. But the material is so expensive. I can't remember what it is. I think the last time I checked, it was like $182 or $185 a yard. So it adds up really, really fast. And, I mean, before I bought a house, I was such an idiot and so naive to water. I had no idea, like, becoming a homeowner, water was going to be, like, the biggest problem in any way, shape, or form. Like, my old house, super old. Water would get into the basement. We didn't have a sump pump. You know, you're talking about your house. I think you said you're on a ranch. And you get a nice driveway put in. You still got to worry about water. This house I'm in, I got to worry about water. It's like, damn, I didn't think I was going to have to worry about water so much. Oh, yeah. Yeah, water's the killer, man. I've had, I got that problem with my drive. So I got to deal with that. I had no idea. I couldn't see it or nothing like that, but I had a leak in my roof, and I didn't know it until the son of a gun started dripping from the ceiling in a corner up near the front of my house. And I'm like, what the hell? And I get up there, and I get in the attic, I look around, and there's, I got this really, really tall reverse cable that comes to, you know, where the front door is, and in that line where the reverse cable hit the regular roof, there must have been a leak, and the water was pooling up, you know, back in the attic, way in the corner there, until it finally, you know, I figured it out when it came through, and it's like, son of a bitch, you know, and by that time, you know, it's all over the place, and it's like, oh my God, what a mess. So, anyhow, water, man. And then I've had the basement water. If it rains really, really hard, I will see a little trickling coming in off one wall, and I gotta try to figure out how to deal with that at some point. I think that's more just, you know, run it off correctly. But yeah, water, man. Hold out. No ranch. I got a bungalow, which is a pain in the ass, but old. Big built thing thrown up, you know, in 30 seconds after World War I or World War II. So it's an old bungalow built on the old farm property back in the day before the city was a city.
Talk about water's making me have to pee. NANM.
Good morning, Steve. Hold your water. Go ahead, Dakota.
Good morning, Steve. Yeah, I forgot you got a bungalow. That's what my old house was. They are kind of a pain in the ass. Not conventional by today's standard when you got to do stuff at them. But, my old house, we had the same problem. It was like, we were up high, but when it dumped rain, we would have the same problem where the gutters just couldn't handle how much water was coming down, and then it would start seeping down the basement. It was a block basement. There were a couple decaying holes where it would just have a little pee stream coming in. So hydraulic cement, believe it or not, works really well for that. Go ahead, Steve.
Just wanted to say good morning. I don't really have anything to add. Just coming around, having my coffee. So I will lurk. Let you guys carry on in 8 minutes.
Well, Steve, I will say the hydraulic cement I have heard works for your problem down there as well. So it's uncomfortable, but it will stop you from peeing. Anyhow, yeah, well, you know, owning a home, constantly dumping money in, but it ain't like a boat. It's you know, it's money well spent.
That's true. You kind of need one to live in, don't you?
I don't know. I look at some of them guys under the viaducts and I think, that ain't so bad. I could do that.
You know, my wife and I have talked about a big fifth wheel and a dually just going all over the states when the kids are out of the house. But the longer I'm in a house, the more I'm like, I got too much crap. I don't know how I could do that.
Yep, you've got the typical man's dream, and I had it as well, and I thought that, you know, in retirement I would have a Class A or something like that. I thought, and I, you know, even got to fantasizing about in a perfect world, I just have a piece of property with a great big pole barn with all the hookups, and when I was home here in Michigan, I'd be up at my property and the pole barn, and the Class A would be all hooked up and everything up there. May or may not have a structure to come back to, you know, and then pull up the anchors and everything like that, and then hit the road and travel around the south, you know, in the winter, and stop in and bug people like Steve down there in Florida, you know, for a month, and then go see my kids in Texas for a month, and you know, so I, you know, all these, I mean, I'm planning it all out in my head, and then Andrea, my wife, will have nothing to do with it. And, you know, and then the kids, they're not in Texas anymore. Steve's still down in Florida, so, but I don't need a Class A motorhome to go down there and bug him. So, yeah, it's just, you know, all of a sudden, I still think about getting something. I throttled it back a little. You know, I'm thinking now maybe a small, you know, two-person camper that I could pull with my SUV. So I've really throttled back, and I still would like to do something like that, but I don't know. I think me, you know, getting lost in America is a fantasy that I had for a little while, and probably is slowly fading out.
Yeah, you just described my fantasy. We want to, but like you said, it's like, well, how long can you do that before it kind of gets, right? Like, you want somewhere to just spread out, relax, be comfortable. So our conclusion was, once the kids are a little bit older, we'll get another. We had a 30-foot travel trailer that was awesome. It had bunks in the back and stuff, so we'll do something like that again and just stay local, and that'll be that. And keep the house, because I think a house is a little bit better than a trailer.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's for sure. And you know, I thought about that. You know, could I live in one of those full time? You know, people do it. As a matter of fact, Wally out here, he you know, they had a kind of a gal Friday at their shop. She knew everything about everything, ran the place pretty much without her, you know, things go to hell in a handbasket, kind of an affair. Anyhow, she put in her notice that, you know what, she said, we're pulling up anchor, we're getting the motor home, and we're traveling, and once I leave, you'll not hear from me again. And boy, she wasn't kidding, and it caused them a little grief, because Wally's partner didn't take her seriously and didn't prepare, and now they're paying for it, because she is in the wind. So they're doing it.
You know, more power to those people that take that plunge. I mean, that's a huge commitment to where you're like, I don't know if she sold her house or not, but I've heard of people that are just like, we sold our house, we bought a truck and a trailer, and we're out. And it's like, damn, like, that's crazy. Like, you have, how much planning goes into that before you're comfortable enough to be like, all right, we got enough places to go and enough things to do that we're not going to hate our lives doing this.
I had to order my Starbucks here this morning. I'll tell you what, the movie is dated, and, you know, it's older, but I'm going to tell you, there's a movie called Lost in America, and it's about a couple that decide to, you know, cash in all their chips and just do that, and it's hilarious. It's dated, but I recommend looking for it.
NADF. Fortunately, in the United States, there's plenty to see and do, but I don't think it would be very cheap either to drive, you know, all over the damn place with that kind of truck and trailer. I don't know. I'd like to do it, but I don't know how long I can do it.
Yeah, you'd have to have some place to anchor. You know, when I was really seriously looking and thinking about it, you know, we would have summered here, and then we would have spent some time, you know, in the winter, you know, probably after the holidays to, you know, for a couple of months. I would have spent a month down with my kids in Houston, you know, they had a park, not terribly far, just a quarter mile, half mile from their subdivision. There was a place, you know, that did just that. It was a campground where you just, and it wasn't like a campground like KOA in the woods. This is, you know, in the woodlands, Texas, which is very built up. But it was a spot where you could park your camper and drop your anchor for a month if you needed to. And so I thought this would be ideal, you know. I'd be right here by the kids in the crappy month, you know, January, February. So then I could, you know, instead of coming right home, you know, you just take the long way home and go see relatives in Phoenix, relatives in California, go up the coast, see relatives in Oregon and Washington, come across, you know, just take my time coming back. And I still wouldn't mind doing that, but like I said, Andrea's not having any of it. She says it's more work for her. It's not a vacation for her. It's more work for her. But yeah, but it's rewarding. It's worth it, you know. I don't know. We do not see eye to eye on the whole camping experience.
Well, speaking from experience, when we had ours, it was a lot of work. The food prep was difficult. Now, granted, ours was not like a full, they call them full-time trailer. It was a three-season travel trailer that was like a weekend warrior. But food prep was hard. Cooking wasn't convenient. The fridge is small, right? So these were all, and we were constantly cleaning the thing. So those are some concerns that I would have. But obviously, if you buy one that's meant to be lived in full time, the accommodations are a little bit better. You got a bigger fridge, you got a laundry. Most of them have a laundry set up, whether it's an all-in-one or they got a stackable unit. But the things we take for granted now are not the same when you're mobile. So I kind of see where she's coming from.
Oh, yeah, no, I know that. That's for sure. That's right. You know, I've throttled back. I'm probably, you know, I've got so many other things I got to do right now and things I got to spend money on that, you know, something like that is a ways down the radar. You know, there's many other things I get more enjoyment out of. Or utilitarian. There's things I have to do. You know, I got to get my new garage built, and I got to do something serious with my house. It's like I said, it's a bungalow, and I either got to modify it so that it's a little bit more, a little easier for a couple old turds, you know, to live in. Because with the bungalow, there's a lot of stairs involved for everything. Laundry's downstairs. The usable second floor that I need is, you know, is upstairs. There's quite a few steps to get up into the place, you know, so, and then in general, it's vertical, right? It's like, you know, the space is vertical, so there's not a lot of elbow room, you know. It's a small bungalow, right? So I don't, you know, I just need to do something seriously, or move, or tear it down and build new. I haven't really honed in on that. I got other things I have to do first, but so if I do a camper, my point is, if I do one, it's gonna be quite a ways down the road here, and I'm probably thinking something small, something that, you know, I'd mostly use myself, like, you know, like Dayton would be a good example. Everybody's going down to Dayton, just run down there with the camper, maybe one other person, you know, or something like that. Hey, you want to run to Dayton? I got, I got two sleep spots here in this camper, you know, and other various little trips like that. But, you know, with Andrea not wanting to travel, that, you know, it does kind of kill the opportunities. There ain't a whole lot of opportunities to use it. So, but something smaller would be bad. And then you'd only use it a little while because, yeah, you're right. It's, you would, what do they call it, boondocking? No, boondocking's when you just go off the grid. But they got a name for it when you full-time it. Full-timing? I don't know, maybe that's it. But people do it, but yeah, it's where you put your stuff, man. We like our stuff, that's for sure.
NADVF, you're singing the same song I was when we lived in our bungalow. The layout's the tough part. Like you said, there's no elbow room. Like, you got the square footage, but half of it's upstairs. And then I don't know how your ceilings are, but ours, we had like a 4-foot walkway in the middle before the ceiling started to pitch because of the roof. So it was not conducive to three children. That was the third one was the deciding factor of, all right, time to move. But yeah, what? So you, I'm assuming you have a detached, or you had a detached.
That's funny you say that. That describes my second floor exactly, in the 4-foot width. I was just measuring the whole thing because I'm trying to turn it into a listening room. So, trying to kind of get a grasp on the room acoustics and stuff. But detached garage, big one, 24 by 24. And it's got a pad behind it. It goes out about another 8 feet. So I'm going to probably break that up, redo it, and then I'm going to put a 24 by 24 back in. But then I'm going to add another 10 foot off the back. So it'll end up being, or 12 feet, it'll end up being 24 by 36 or 24 by 34, I don't know. And then I'll use that back part, you know, for seasonal things, the garden, lawn and garden stuff, because I got a tractor. I got two tractors, actually, you know, keep all that stuff there in that back part. And then I'll keep the big 24 by 24 for my man cave for, you know, those projects. But, yeah, detached 24 by 24, I just tore down and got to replace.
Get about that extra bay for my cars.
You gonna leave the keys? Sure.
All right, so hear me out. What if instead of building a 24 by 24 garage, you build a slightly larger barn dominium or something of the sort for you guys to live in, move into?
It's probably the only reason why that thing ain't up. I could have a 24 by 24 on my slab. I could have it probably up within a week. And one of the things that's holding me back is that at what point do I just say, you know, how much could I get a prefab, you know, just do the whole thing, a prefab with an attached garage, you know, just behind this one. It solves all my problems because we don't necessarily dislike where we're at. You know, it has a lot of advantages, you know, and at the same time it's worn, so it has its disadvantages as well. But, you know, we're on an acre, we're on a dirt road, it's like country living in a city, quote unquote. I can walk to 5 Starbucks, I can be at any one of 3 or 4 grocery stores within walking distance, really. You know, I mean, it's a good walk, but still, you know, I like that. For me, that's a big deal. A lot of people, you know, they want to be away from everything. I don't. And so, having said that, and plus they're really good with restrictions as far as antennas and things like that, I like where I'm at. And so I keep thinking, maybe I should just build what works for us in retirement. You know, I mean, I could pay cash for it, but I really don't want to, that would really take a hit on my savings. But still, I'm really struggling with the decision. That's the big deal.
Ultimately, that's what my parents want us to do. They want us to have enough land where we can build a, you know, apartment, condo, something or another, basically in our backyard or vice versa. They'll have more land or whatever. But that's what I was thinking too, right? You build yourself a comfortable living space that's enough for what you want and need on the same property, and then have, you know, have your kids move in to the house or rent the house or whatever.
K-8-R-U-H? Anthony, I'll be damned. Yeah, I thought about that. My son wants the place, you know, and so that's the other reason I'm thinking about keeping it. He really loves the place. He wants to keep it, you know, but, so I don't mind putting money into it and all that stuff if he wants to take it over, you know, when I'm gone. But, yeah, I thought about that, leaving one place and living the new one or something like that, but I don't really have quite the space for that like you got. Anthony, good morning. Where the hell you been, man?
Good morning. I was in Florida for a few days, Friday to yesterday. Just got in late last night and not excited to go to work. I'm running awfully behind, as a matter of fact, and I got to stop and get a coffee.
Florida. Well, you are late because I'm pulling into work here. So I got to make this my final and I'm going to clear out, but I will hopefully catch you tomorrow morning. Sean, good talking to you. Anthony, good hearing from you, man. And I'll talk to you guys later. Everyone have a good day. And ADVF, I'll be clear.
All right. Well, sounds good, Anthony. Yeah, Florida sounds good this time of year. And I apologize, too. I just pulled into work. I got to get inside. Well, actually, I'm inside, but I got to get to it. And, yeah, we were wondering where you were at. Didn't have Dakota Monday, Tuesday, or you. And everybody's going, what the heck, man? It's quiet out here. But we'll talk to you hopefully tomorrow morning. Sounds like you're getting a little bit of a late start. And Steve down there in Florida, you enjoy your morning and work some DX. I don't know what else... Chasing Knowles. I don't know what else an old guy like you is doing, all retired down there in Florida. Man, one day. All right, I'm getting out of here. W8FU.
Have a great day, guys. We'll talk to you soon. I'm going in to grab a coffee. Catch up with you tomorrow. K-E-8-R-U-H.
33. And it is nice. It's 62, right? You know, just to rub it in a little bit. And 8NM.
Now, we are supposed to get up to 56 today, Steve, so ha-ha. Of course, by that time, you'll be in the 80s, I know. All right, later. So the 8 of you.
Are they calling for 70s in a few days? I caught something just as I was waking up this morning.
Don't know. Haven't really looked into it, but it is supposed to warm up a bit. So it could be. We've had 70s already. All right, I got to get in. The interview.
Well, I'll be pulling in the driveway next Sunday, I think it is. So as long as it's warmer, you know, week and a half, that'll be fine.
All right, then next Sunday you'll be in, so we'll make the following Sunday breakfast with the boys out your way. So it's a date.
Good morning, 0800 hours, mostly sunny, 23 degrees. Good morning. 0900 hours. Sunny. 30 degrees.
Any WJs that testing? Any WJs that testing? DRC NHWJZ 600.
KFA DRC. Hey, Jack, got you in there. Nice signal. Good to talk to you there. Very good. Thanks for giving me the heads up on it. I've got a full scale here down here. Go ahead.
That's good. How are you doing this morning, Dan?
Real good, real good. Conditions are good here. I only have a few minutes. I got to get going, but I got the information on the system here. This is really great. Is this linked full time or just certain times or what? There, go ahead.
It is full time.
Hey, real good, real good. Well, hey, doing great there. That's great. You got your ticket, man. That's phenomenal. I'm going to keep these in the scan loop here. Conditions are really awesome today with the clear skies coming through today and everything. So, but thanks for the heads up. And how far does this go up up north towards to the UP or what there? Go ahead.
Okay, it goes up to Maybell, right in the thump area.
Hey, okay. Very good. Very good. Well, that's great. And I appreciate the system there. Definitely keep it in mind here. And anyway, I gotta get going, but really thanks for the heads up, and I'll catch you here or on the other band there. So really cool there, Jack. Glad to hear it out there. You have a great day, and I'm sure we'll talk sooner than later, so take care. KF8ERC NHWJZ 73.
Good to hear you on this side. If you take care and have a good day. KF8ERC.
KA8EGQ mobile monitoring.
Good morning, 1000 hours. Mostly sunny. 42 degrees.
K8BB.
Good morning, 1100 hours. Sunny. 48 degrees.
WAPAP. KEATFM. Yep.
Aren't you supposed to be working? KEATFM.
Yeah, I had some doctor appointments today. I decided to run a couple errands. Places that are not open when I get out of work, or I don't feel like going to. So, yep, I'm heading to work. Making a couple detours.
Yeah, I'm not on the road. I'm just sitting here at my desk getting some work done. I gotta go. I'm gonna be on the road pretty soon. I gotta go pick up some parts in Troy. But yeah, just getting paperwork done. I'm trying to stay awake. Here I am yawning.
Yeah, I have an older one of those small form factor PCs and the keyboard. But it feels ER-2032. Sure which two wires are twisted together, connected to positive or negative. I gotta take it apart. But I gotta build a battery. The funny thing is that Mark actually bought a small spot welding machine to spot weld wires to batteries.
Man, you're breaking up pretty good. I caught most of it, though. Yeah, I bought one of those spot welders for batteries, and it never worked. I wound up throwing it out with some cheap Chinese tool, and I was going to use it to make thermocouples, and it didn't work at all for me.
Could be better now. I was inside of a tunnel type underneath the bridge. How's that? Is that better?
There you go. That's better.
There's a million of them on Amazon that have a two-wire plug. This has got a three-wire plug. I think it's got like a black and white are twisted together going to the negative, and the red one goes to the positive. I think I got batteries at work that have the tabs already on them, solder tabs. Probably build a little battery. I don't feel like spending $7 on Amazon.
Very good. All right. Well, I'm going to start getting ready. I'm going to go run upstairs and get some lunch, so I will chat with you later. Take it easy. KE8, TFM.
All righty. Have a good one. Talk to you later. W88P.
Good afternoon. 1200 hours. Sunny.
AFA.
59 degrees.
Jack. Hey, Jack, you got coax for that antenna? You know, you could take down the harvest. Take down the harvest and put up the tram.
I see what you're saying. Can you leave the harvest there and put the... Take the dish out and put the other one there next to it? Oh, that's too close.
Yeah, it's not too close. There'd be a dead spot, though. But what I'm saying is if you get that new antenna, it'll probably work on GMRS as well. It'll work on both bands. The harvest doesn't work on the VHF, though. So, yeah. Maybe you should... Just throw it up where the harvest is and check the match and everything. If it's under 1.6 or 7 on GMRS, that's fine. It doesn't have to be exactly a 1.1. It could be 1.5, 1.6. If it can't be 150:1.
All right, I'll try that. I'll take the harvest down and put that one up. Maybe move the harvest somewhere else anyhow.
And the key is, though, you got to get good coax. You got to have some good coax. I think you do, but you may have to buy some, you know, if you need, you know, 40 feet, just buy 50. Don't buy 75 or 100. Just buy, get by with the smallest amount. I mean, you got to have some extra, but, you know what I mean? Don't buy 100.
So that coax over there, it's an LMR 240.
Yeah, I would go with something bigger than that, 400. Anyhow, I'm at the place where I got to be. I'll be back, WATAP.
Hey, talk later. AF8, DRC.
W-8-F-U.
Eh? Eh? Hello?
Is this Sean, or are you calling Sean? He kind of broke up in the first part of your transmission.
No, this is he. In the flesh. Or I should say, in the radio waves.
Yep. I'm being a day filler today. Took a half day. I had some doctor's appointments, so got that taken care of at a store. Got my hair cut. I'm a bona fide day filler.
Well, I am a couple miles from my carryout. I'm going to get a carryout here. Do lunch. I got a 1 o'clock virtual. That one's a long one. It usually goes to 2:30 or so. So that's my plans until 2:30, and then I'll just do a remote from home for the last hour. I ain't running all the way back to the shop for the last hour. When I can do everything I need to do remotely. So that's the rest of my afternoon. So come punch out time, I'll be sitting in my easy chair.
Is it a genuine lazy boy easy chair?
No, but I thought about getting something a little bit more light and easy chair for that position, because I find myself, like when I come home from work and I kick back and I find myself nodding off, and since there's no high back on it, you know, my head either goes all the way back or forward or the side, and it's like, you know, then I get a crick in there. So I should probably get something with a little support so that I can doze off in it if I need to. But no, it's just a pretty much a standard office chair on rollers.
Yep, I got about the same kind of chair at work as I do at home. Pretty much almost identical. But haven't fell asleep at work ever. 30 years. Almost did. I know some guys that hold a couple of desk leads in their hands and they kind of put their magnifying glass in front of them and they kind of lean up against it and kind of doze off, but it looks like they're working.
That's a veteran move right there. But, I've dozed once or twice. You can bet that. You know what it gets me is my office is really cold, and sometimes I put a little space heater on and I'm near a window. So, you know, it's cold behind me, and then, so I get that heater going, I get that warm air blowing up on me, and I'm kind of cold, and then I get all warm, my little warm cocoon, and next thing you know, I've dozed, I've, like, nod off a second, I'm like, whoa. So, but, anywho, pretty specific circumstances. So I'd like to get a chair with a high back. I went by the Swedish fish place, and whatever, Swedish meatball place, and, God damn it, what's the name of it? Oh, it's right on the tip of my tongue. You know the one I'm talking about. Anyhow, I went there and walked through that maze and saw a couple of chairs in there for a pretty reasonable amount of money that wouldn't be bad. Right in my wheelhouse, about my speed, about my price level. They were pretty comfy, so I may go back there and get one of those.
Yeah. Probably have to spend at least $100 to $139 on a decent one. Minimum, I would say. But yeah. That's what I have at home now. It's held up over the years. Yeah, I got carpeting on the floor, so I got one of those hard plastic, I don't know what you call it, but it goes on the floor so you can roll your chair around without it damaging the carpet. I don't know what you call those, but I got one of those, so it's all good. For now, it's holding up.
I thought of it when I unkeyed. IKEA, that's it. Anyhow, kept thinking Aldi's. I'm like, it's not Aldi's, damn it. IKEA. But anyhow, yeah, they had them in the ones, you know, one, you know, let's just say 150-ish, and then up to a 3-something, you know, varying different ones. I don't think they had much over 3-something, but they had a few. Anywho, I am pulling up here to Bangkok Cuisine. I'm going to go inside and see if my carryout is ready. And I will be back out here. Enjoy your lollygagging. W8FU, I'll be back.
Hey, just remember, if you don't open the door all the way, you're going to Bangkok. 73 WADAB. AF8 DRC WAEAB.
AFH-DRC. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, how many feet of coax do you have from that harvest? So, I would get some LMR 400. Do you have it on Amazon? You can get a roll of it with the ends already on it. I would recommend getting it with the ends already on it. That way you don't kind of mess around with the connectors. So, if you can get by with 50 feet, that would be great.
Oh, this one here is 35 feet is enough where that harvest is. But I don't like it because you cannot twist that the 400. I have a couple of them. I can't even use them. I have one here in the garage. It's not shot out, the 259, the PL-259. It's not in it. But it's very hard to twist. And, you know, I have window because I slide it through the window. I never made a hole in the house and put it in.
Right. Well, if you're only talking 35 feet, you can get by with something smaller than 400.
Yeah, really, not much, really. Oh, yeah, 35 is too long, you know, to that room, the metal room, and from here. Roger.
Hey, you could even put it up 5 feet, put another 5-foot mast on there and bring it up a little bit, but... Yeah, they do make LMR 400 that's soft, that bends easily, flexible. You got to get the LMR 400 Flex. It's called Flex. It's flexible.
That by DX Engineer?
Yeah, they're kind of expensive. You might want to try R&L. I don't know, sometimes they're okay. R&L, even Amazon. So, yeah, I would check those three places, but... R&L is generally pretty fair priced, so I want to check it out. It's called LMR 400 or LMR 400 equivalent Flex.
So you're saying, so the 240, I mean, it works, but it's not going to work as the greatest.
Well, like I said, if you're under 50 feet, it won't make that much of a difference. But yeah, your biggest amount of loss is in the UHF band, especially, you know, GMRS. It's a lot of loss, and especially if you have 100 feet, like a lot of people do. But, you know, short distances, 20, 30, 40 feet, doesn't make a huge difference, but it's noticeable. I mean, you'll better receive. You'll notice a little bit better receive. Thicker coax, better transmit.
I see what you're saying. No, it's about, I would say not even 35, 30, believe me. It's about 30 feet from here to inside the room, inside the middle room. That's all, from where that harvest is.
Yeah, you gotta watch out about splicing it too. You gotta, you know, it's not good to have your coax spliced a bunch of different places. Yeah, in that case, I would just use that coax from the harvest and just put that new tram up in its place. It'll outperform that antenna, and you could probably use it on both bands, three bands, I should say, 2 meter, 440, GMRS.
Take down the harvest. I was thinking just take the disc down and put the new one there so it'll have the harvest and the trim, and that's it.
I really don't think you'll need the harvest anymore. I think that tram will do everything that one did and work good everywhere. So that's my advice. And besides, if you put the other one side by side, they'd be a little too close to you. You'd have like a, it may affect your transmit in one direction.
Yeah, if I'm gonna give it to a funny lady. Roger.
Well, yeah, maybe she needs a tram. Maybe she'll get her ham license. But yeah, you could give it to her. Why not? Anything's better than a rubber duck.
You're right. Eric, she heard me. I got my license. She's starting steady. I told her it's the best thing to do. Call Captain Don. He give you the test on the computer. It's better. And she said, that's what I'm going to do. She took his number, but she has not called him yet because she's not ready yet.
Yeah, we'll see what time I get out of work today. Maybe I'll pick up, the 5RM and what else? What other radio is it? I forget. Remember I was telling you, the DB20G and the 5RM.
You said the 890. The one that's got my picture on it. You want that one. And you want the 5RM, you're right. And you want the 9600. That 9600, it's got a little bit of everything, but, you know, I think that's what I'm going to use on that trim.
What's up, Jack? How you doing? King of the radio.
Oh, very good. How about you? How you doing?
I'm doing just great, Jack. Got my lunch here. It's one of my favorite Thai places. I go sit down, eat that. I got a meeting coming up here at 1 o'clock. And that'll just about finish out the day for me. How about you?
Well, for now, I'm sitting outside. And that, you know, in the backyard, I'm talking to you on the handheld with that 5R. And later on, I got to go a couple of places, maybe go to Sam's Club, pick up a few things from there. After that, I got to run to my daughter's house. She wants me to come by. She said the food is ready. Come on, pick it up. I said, okay, no problem. So I'll be a little bit busy. Roger.
Man, how lucky you are. Have all them women cooking all that food. Oh, they take care of Pops or their brother. Good deal. Hey, we're going to hear Linda on here. Is Linda going to get her license?
John, she will. But I gave her the phone number of Captain Don. So she's supposed to call him when she's ready. She said it'll be maybe this week. He doesn't know yet. And I told her the best thing to do is study that exam. It's no better than that exam. That's what I did.
Yeah, very cool. No, she'll like it, I think. She enjoyed the other, and I think she'll like this even better. So, all right, Eric, you back? I think you guys were in the middle of negotiating something when I jumped in. Well, Jack, not sure what happened. I thought you and Eric were carrying on there. Something about picking up radios from you. I think he has to enable all the ham stuff on your radios that you were using for DMRS. Is that correct?
So he's got to pick up those DB20G and also the PYT 9600. That needs to be open, all of them. And the 890, the one that has the picture, that's what he wants to do. He wants to change that picture to John Wayne. And he wants that the 5R, too, he wants, the one I got in my hand now, he wants to change that, too. I tell him, no problem. Come on, pick him up. But as soon as they have chance, I guess, you know. But I still can make it anyhow because I got that PYT 390. It works good, it's great, you know. I was talking a couple of days ago on it. Matter of fact, I was talking last night on it.
Oh, yeah. No question about it. So tell me, have you been dialing around a little bit, listening to what's out there? Because there's Nets going on. There's a Monday night net on UHF you should be able to work. And there's Hazel Park has their net on VHF. And then there's a thing in the morning on the General Motors number up here. You know, there's just stuff going on all over the place all the time. Have you been dialing around a little bit, taking notes?
Yes, I've been I wanted to get on the, you know, Hazel Park, but I will do it this weekend. I told them I'm going to get on this because the radio set has to be open, and I just don't want to talk on, you know, 5 or 10 Y radio, you know. Roger, I will do that, but the 550, I missed that one. It's supposed to be Monday at 9 o'clock. I didn't hear him at all. I had the radio on to hear him. Did not hear him at all.
Yeah, I think it's over by then. I'm not sure on that. I thought it started earlier, like 8. But so maybe you were just after it. But I don't know. I don't really listen in on that. Most nights I don't, so I couldn't tell you too much. But all right. Anyhow, Jack, I'm here at my stop. I got to get inside, try to get most of my lunch done before my meeting here in 20 minutes. So kind of pressed for time. But good hearing you, and we'll talk to you later. If Eric's back, grab it. Otherwise, I'll send it over to you, Jack, for a final. W8FU.
Okay, Sean, good talking to you. I will see you on Saturday anyhow. KFA, DRC.
KE8VSI monitoring.
Well, KE8VSI, KZ8Z lurking.
Ah, wow, didn't expect that. Are you at home working or on the road?
I am mobile, heading over to see my tax guy. What fun.
Ah, very good. Well, you're ahead of me. I've been talking about it for a month now. But I did start like 2 days ago, got halfway done, and I'm just now back at my desk to finish up. And that, to me, that's finish up the package I have to bring to my tax guy. So it's one of those things I just delay and procrastinate. But hey, you're at least, you're done with that part and getting it done, so that's awesome. I just got back from outside. It's real nice out, but that wind is a little tippy because I filled up my gas tank and I tippy-topped it, and I got cold. So it was that and a Taco Bell run, so not too bad.
Oh, man, I haven't made a run for the border in, geez, I don't know. It's been years from something that I think I used to do probably multiple times a week, too. I haven't been there in a long time. Something about that taste, it's good. Something good for you, but it's good. And by the way, don't you know you're not supposed to tip off your gas tank? There's, you know, that's going against the atmosphere or something. Although, you might be improving the ionosphere by doing that. Maybe you're helping some electrons skip out of their orbit and helping our signal strength. I think I'm going to go with that one. Yeah, I'm in Troy right now, heading over to Ferndale. My guy's at like 12 mile in Cambridge, I think. So it's a little dry, but he's a really good guy. I've been using him for years, so I don't mind the drive. And I go over there, have a chat for about an hour, and he's done. And it's funny, I just finished off, you know, the pile of stuff that I bring over there. Finished that off this morning. And I told Kim, I said, this pile's getting smaller and smaller each year. So next year it will be even smaller, which is a good thing. It's getting easier. I could probably be back to doing it myself again, but he's very reasonable, and I'd like to get it done right.
Yeah. Well, I still do the run to the border now and again. It has definitely decreased over the last couple of years, though. But I just had a hankering today. And, yeah, my pile's getting smaller and smaller now, too, with a little sheet that I make myself to things that I have to figure out and get numbers to him and forms that I have to get to him. That's all getting smaller and smaller. Transition year this year, same as you. so, yeah, but it's going to get even better and better as time goes forward, and eventually it'll probably be back to stupid easy, I hope, at some point. So, excellent. KE8VSI.
Yeah, I still have hopes that we can get to a postcard for the easy form.
I know that's been talked about for so many years, decades. I don't think we're ever going to get there, but man, that would be nice. Although that easy form, I think it was a one-pager back in the day. I don't even know if they still have that, but that was pretty simple, too. But the stuff that, well, I won't go down that rabbit hole. It's still way too complicated. Yeah, it's beautiful outside, switching topics. Finally, we got some temperatures that are in a reasonable zone. I think it's supposed to be in the 50s today. That's nice, really nice. And the sun is out, but I don't know that we're quite back yet to POTA time, because the days I saw that were going to be 60, I think I also saw rain. But if not, I'm definitely up for more POTA.
Yeah, I'm glad we took advantage of that day we did, and I did another one in my car before that. And but yeah, it was nice as it is out today. If you did it outside your vehicle, you'd be cold pretty quick. So, but I'm glad we did it, because I knew this was coming. We'd be a long time for the next one, but it's getting to be a long time. So any day now, I'd be happy. But I look at the weather like you do, go forward a week and see and. Nothing so far really tapped me on the shoulder and said, get ready for that.
I'm in Clough, and I just passed, what was that, 14 mile, I think? I see Wonderground Magic Shop is still there. Wow! They've moved locations, but I'm so happy that that place is still in business. That is awesome. If you've never been there, you should stop in. It's like Main Street and 14. And whoever's working in there will just amaze you with some basic magic. The stuff I used to do back in the day that I would practice with you, but those guys just, you know, they do it every day as little demos and they want to sell you the trick, but it's a fun place.
Yeah, that name sounds familiar, Wonderground, but I've been to at least two places with you, maybe more. I remember specifically the one in that little house in Rochester. But I know that I've been to others as well, so maybe I have been to one of their previous places. But cool, still going. That is cool.
Oh, that's wild. You remember that little house? Yeah, that's like a tea room or something now. The guy who ran that was the manager of, was it Mr. B's downtown Rochester? They changed now. LJ, I think his first name was Leslie. Initially, he went by LJ. He was pretty good, pretty darn good. I remember seeing him maybe 10 years ago at the restaurant / bar, and he still does a little bit of magic. And where I get my haircut, this is a small world thing. One of the barbers there, he's super good friends with LJ, and I don't know how it came up, but I think he tried to vanish a quarter or something in front of me. I'm like, hey, that's pretty good. And then we got to talking, and he knows LJ, which was one of the owners of that little store in Rochester. Yeah, man, that's a long time ago, but that was a cool little place. I wish there was more of those, and that then it would be really cool if, I don't know, like Thursday nights or something, they did a little show for people to come in. Somebody should do that at the Roxy or Younger's out in Romeo. That might be fun. But anyway, I'm probably the only audience for the Magic Heat show.
I don't know. It's been a while since that's ever been a popular thing. I bet you it could make a comeback of some sort. Maybe not huge, but something. But yeah, that'd be a neat idea. There you go. In your retirement, you can open up a small magic shop and go that route. Give you something to do. And then Jim can do the books and all that kind of back office stuff.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. The me part, not the Kim part. I'll go to one, but I won't do one. But it does, just the atmosphere, the vibe would be kind of cool. Have a bunch of old dudes hanging out. Kind of sounds like ham radio. Old dudes hanging out, talk about magic. Old dudes hanging out, talk about radio. Huh, might be onto something there. okay, Greg, I'm about a mile away, so I'll talk to you, and we got to catch up. We should go grab some breakfast somewhere soon. I had breakfast with Mike, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, and I told him the next time we go out, we should go to that place in Richmond, so maybe the three of us could go there. But we need to catch up live. Okay, for KABSI, KZ8Z.
All right, very good. Yeah, I haven't seen Mike in decades. So, yeah, that'd be cool. In Richmond or wherever, don't matter to me. I'm game. So, very good. Yeah, Sue met with a friend this morning in Troy for breakfast. So she's getting out and doing a couple things here and there. All right, go do the taxes. Talk to you later, KEABSI.
Good afternoon. 1300 hours. Mostly sunny. 56 degrees.
NHKDP.
Good afternoon. 1400 hours. Cloudy. 56 degrees. Good afternoon. 1500 hours. Mostly cloudy. 53 degrees. Good afternoon. 1600 hours. Mostly cloudy. 56 degrees.
This is not CB. Either talk or don't push the button. NHKAP.
Gary, quit lurking. There's nobody out here. Nobody talks. Everyone talks on Facebook and Telegram. No one actually talks on the repeaters anymore. You know that. Oh, and Slack, too. So if I know what's going on, I got to go to Slack, Facebook, or Telegram.
NHRAN. No one uses... Wait, Slack? What's Slack?
They're all on Grindr.
No, that's not good. That's not good.
I had to run Mark up to the corner here to pick up his van. Did you get your Jeep taken care of, Gary?
Yeah, yep, get my Jeep taken care of. I gave you the run start. Got it working now. Something happened to my mail. I don't know. It didn't quite get forwarded. Got that taken care of. So, just a whole bunch of stuff. Got to go to jury duty. I'm like, really? Just sitting in my mailbox for a few months. I had to call them up this morning. And they go, oh, no, don't worry about it. You know, we'll reschedule you and everything. It's like, all right, I don't know. A second time now since I've been down here, since they've had to go down for jury duty before.
You know, Gary, you can get one of those little float chargers. I think I got like five of them for Harbor Freight. They're like 1 amp, and
once your battery's charged, you just leave it on there, and it just trickle charges it. I got, like, three of those. I'll give you one if you want. Next time you go to Florida, just hook up the little float charger. So, there you go. That'll work on one of your batteries. You got two batteries. You got that second battery that's only for the auto start, though. Who cares about that one? Who cares?
MHRAN. Well, you know, I disconnected the battery because normally you just disconnect the battery when you leave for a few months. And, you know, you plug it back in and it just didn't work. You know, I've done that there in Florida and never really had any issues except for one time. But, you know, over the past, I don't know, 25 years that she's been going there, the last 11 years, never had any issues, except for the one time, and, you know, I mean, she doesn't drive, you know, we don't drive very far, everything's within a couple of miles at most when you're down there, except for when you go into the regional Southwest in Fort Myers. That's about the longest distance you'll ever really go, unless you go to the, you know, casino or something.
Yeah, but your Jeep's the same year as mine, and I had to replace my batteries last year. So it lasted from 2018 to 2024, 6 years, which is about normal. You know, I mean, it still worked, but you could tell it wasn't holding a charge. So if you haven't done it, you're going to probably need new batteries. And there's two of them. But, depending on the condition of your battery, you know, leaving it unhooked, you know, it may or may not work. That's what I do on the snowmobiles. I take the batteries out, but I put one of my little float chargers on them. And it won't have a problem. Take the battery out, or disconnect it rather, and then put a little float charger on it. It'll be good. And if you don't want to leave it on all the time, you can hook it up to an Alexa switch, you know, one of those little Kaza Wi-Fi controlled switches. Just say, turn on charger, turn off charger.
Oh, yeah, that would be a good idea. I didn't think about that. Yeah. You know what? First time I had it disconnected, which was like just before 3 years before I had my vehicle. You know, I had it for almost 3 years, and they had to replace both of them. They're under warranty, so I got new batteries there like 3 years ago. So I don't know. It's just crazy.
Yeah, mine were out of warranty by a year or two, but they gave me a good discount. They always give me a discount. There's one thing that happened. It was something minor, but it was just out of warranty by like 6 months or a couple thousand miles, and they just let it slide. They got a little bit of a wiggle room on that if you're a good customer. But, yeah, if you got one of those Kaza switches, if you don't, I got like three or four of them laying around. I'll give you one, and you just do it that way.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea. I could just charge it up for an hour a day or two, you know, so that way it's not always. I could just set it for a schedule. You know, you just set it and forget it. Excellent idea. I let it run, I don't know, about 20, 25 minutes, and then I took it around a couple times around the neighborhood here and parked it in the back of the garage and, you know, shut it off and then started right back up again. So I know, it just needed a quick charge. I mean, I know it took like maybe a minute for them to charge up the battery. So it wasn't too bad. I guess it was just like on the verge of wanting to start, but it just didn't have enough oomph. So apparently it was just a little bit. So hopefully I won't have to do that next time.
Yeah, I don't know what I have my schedule to on the machines up there. I think they have it for 12 hours on, 12 hours off, or maybe 6 hours on and 18 hours off. I forget. But anyway, to get back into work, I just run Mark up to the gas station to pick up his van or repair shop over here. I will be back out probably in about an hour and a half. So, catch you later, Gehrmeister and Sean, if you're out there lurking. Everybody have a good one. WATAP.
All right. Sounds good. Talk to you in a little bit. And who else is out there? This is NHRAN.
KF8DDD.
I think that's Tom. Tom, you barely got in.
I need to slow down. Kilo, Charlie, D, Kilo, Julian, Oscar, come on now.
Much better. Still frying bacon, though. How you doing today?
My name is Davison, probably on the theater 350, so it's going to be Holly. And I am coming back from a skiing.
It was a long trek for the morning. Now you're back on your way to this side of town. That's cool.
Does sound a little bit better. I jumped over to Flint.
Yep, you're coming in much better now. You must be happy that the most of the winter weather is done. There's still always a chance, but I'm sure your drives just get easier from here on out.
Oh, it's just going to get better. Not having to worry about snowstorms and snow squalls and icy roads. Yeah, I'm a happy camper. Jeez, by the time I get done today, I've done 400 miles, maybe? Over 400?
That's quite a few, yeah. As we're talking about how the weather's getting better and the roads are getting better, just passed two guys on motorcycles, so it is coming, that's for sure. I'm ready for it.
You and me both. I mean, I'm ready for storm season, but still, I hate driving in the snow.
Yeah, I don't know that anybody truly likes it. Even if you're a winter sports person, it doesn't mean that you like driving in the snow. You just like the results of driving in the snow.
100%. I hope it's going to be nice weather next week, because there is a tentative trip to Petoskey next Thursday.
Yeah, I think the 10-day is showing that it's going to keep getting warmer, and they're usually about 10, 15 degrees cooler than us, so you should be in good shape. I know that at one point they were calling for some snowstorms this weekend up there, but I think it's turning into all rain. Tom, I may have lost you.
No, I'm bringing up Petoskey for next week. Says they have a winter storm watch in front tomorrow at 5 p.m. until Saturday at 11. Let's see what next week follows. 44 degrees, and I want to be over by Little Traverse Bay.
Yeah, at least it's going to be above freezing, it sounds like.
That's a good thing. Last time I was up there was probably a year ago, maybe. And the ice cream shop was open, so I went and got a big old thing of ice cream. I got some caramel and some fudge, and then I stopped off at Bacani and got some cheese. So, yeah, I dropped enough money that day. It was on payday.
you know, in, I think it's Petoskey, still, there is a party store / grocery store called Petoskey Sands. It's on, I want to say it's on, right on 119 between Petoskey and Harbor Springs, and they have the best beef jerky you've ever had. So if you are over that way, you should definitely stop there and get beef jerky. Petoskey Sands, Petoskey Sands, or no, it's not a Y, it's an I, Sands. It's pretty awesome. Great jerky.
This is a place south by Dexter Chelsea area.
Yeah, if you're over there, you should definitely check it out.
I'm like right in between right here. Here on 69. That's right. What am I on? I'm back on Holly 350. That's not so good.
That's all right. I'm almost to my destination anyway, so I can cut you loose here. Hopefully, get home quickly and safely, and your travels over the next couple weeks stay snow-free, but I'm sure I'll talk to you in the next couple days. So have a great ride home, and I'll catch up with you to RUH. I'll be clear on your final.
Well, I'm going to talk to you tomorrow over the weekend. You have the best time, like maybe barbecue or something like that.
Good afternoon, 1700 hours, mostly cloudy, 53 degrees.
Go ahead, WAEAP.
N8AKPP.
Heard another station out there, but they never came back. So go ahead, KPP.
What's happening? Heading home. Got some fuel. Stopped and paid for the wife's car at the dealership. Got her a fob so we can go pick it up tonight. Just been doing all sorts of little projects. Been a relaxing afternoon. How are you?
Hold on a second. I don't know. Hello? How's that? Just here at work and ready to pack it up.
Well, it turned out nice this afternoon. It rained just a tad there over here on the far east side. Got kind of dark and gloomy, and I know they were talking about rain this weekend, and I thought, well, that's kind of early. And then it cleared up, and the sun is shining, and it's whopping 57 degrees outside.
Yep. Yeah, it got pretty nice out. I didn't see it rain here in the bowels of Warren, but anywho. Yeah, I'll be out in the car in a few minutes. I gotta start cleaning up here. Been a long day, all kinds of stuff went on, so I will talk to you a little bit if you're still out there. If not, have a good one. WADAP.
Mm-hmm.
whatever that was. Sounded pretty. All right, yeah, I might not be. I'm almost home. We'll see how it plays out. So, have a good drive home, Eric. Be careful. Quiet radio day. Kind of weird. Talk soon. KNAKPP.
That was a Cisco on hold.
So he was talking to me via Cisco.
Uh-huh. I've got mine connected right now. I'll put it on hold just to show you. Okay. Okay, hold on a second.
Test 1-2.
Huh, must have turned mine off.
Well, you must fix it. Maybe I'll try that line and see what it does. So, good. Other than that, not too much. Well, nice and quiet on the radio today, which is different. I heard Tom throw his calls out a couple, three times. I tried to get back to him, but he's probably in between projects. I think he said he had a busy day. He had to go all the way over to Muskegon or something today, so I figured he would be do a lot of driving around and checking out his roaming capabilities, but maybe he had other things to do, too.
Let me try this. Hold on. Okay, there we go. So if you're transmitting and you put it on hold, usually I found it did it no matter what, but it's definitely hold music from the Cisco. And, but you gotta, it looks like you got to be transmitting when you put it on hold, which is weird.
See that? I learned something today. The day is now complete. Why would you put it on hold while you were transmitting, though? I guess that would be the other thing, because that would tie up the repeater for 180 seconds, wouldn't it? Or does that drop, or how does that work?
Well, remember, these aren't push-to-talk devices, so that would be what would happen if you were in a phone call and you put it on hold. The thing is, when you use these things in this fashion, you got to do the star 99 to put them in that conference. You know, you're like, your mic's muted. When you hit star 99, you're unmuting your mic. So they do it because, you know, now why would you do it in this particular scenario? I think it happens accidentally. There's a certain sequence of events that I know for sure if you're talking and another call comes in and you switch over to it, it'll do that. So, I don't know, something like that. Whatever, but it's definitely coming from the Cisco and it's a hold function of some sort. And, you know, the whole star 99 pound thing is kind of a clutch to get it working with the radio.
Oh, very good. Now I understand. I wanted to chat with you kind of privately. I will call you on the Cisco if you got a minute.
Sure.
It's not super secret stuff like that's going on. Oh, what app am I supposed to use? What's the latest news story? Signal. I kind of called you on Signal.
Well, hold on and let me get my reporter friends online first.
There you go. I knew you'd get a charge out of that. I'll see you in a second.
God, could you imagine if certain other people pulled that boner? Can you imagine the outrage? But, alas, the world we live in.
Just remember, tick-tock, tick-tock. This time the clock swung right. Next time the clock swings left. Like I said, nothing about it, say about it. It used to be little swings. Now it's big swings. All right, I'll see you in a minute.
Yeah, ain't helping nobody. W8FU.
W8FU, KU4ZYQ.
I have an incoming phone call, Joe. That's That's why I jumped off. It hasn't incoming yet, but I'm expecting it any second. What's up?
Oh, nothing, Sean. No, if you're busy, I just was going to say hello. Had a rough day today, just getting taxes done and groceries, and just wanted to talk to another human being, but that's okay. No, seriously, if you're busy, I'll get talking later, maybe.
No, I'm just letting you know I may have to jump, because Wally jumped out to give me a call. So, in there, it just coming in now. So, I'll get back with you as soon as I'm off this call. W8P.
QSO that K4ZYQ monitor.
KF8S.
KE8ZYQ from W8FQ.
Good evening, 1800 hours. Mostly cloudy. 53 degrees.
WAGAP monitoring. There's a dead key, no modulation.
KF8S. KF8S.
Yeah. So good you had to say it twice. What's up?
Not much. Packing all my stuff. Getting ready to go home tomorrow.
Had enough fish and chips?
Yep, I guess so. I only had it once. Or wait, no, I had it twice, but I didn't eat any of the breading.
There you go. You don't want doubt.
Yep, I tried it both ways. I tried it once with cod and once with the other white meat. Haddock. Haddock? Something like that.
Here's a tribute for you. Not the captain of the Titanic, that was Captain Smith, but the captain of the sister ship to the Titanic, whose name's Captain Haddock. How appropriate.
Shouldn't have a Smith captaining a boat, I guess. Need to have a fisher person.
Well, if you believe the conspiracy theories, it wasn't the Titanic that actually sank. It was a sister ship. Because it got damaged, and the insurance company wasn't going to cover it because it was their fault. So then they switched the nameplates, and they were going to sink the Titanic on purpose, and the plan got screwed up. And I don't know. It's a big, long story. It's pretty interesting. It all makes sense. It all fits, too.
You know, there's a whole subreddit of people who write believable stories. And, you know, they do it on purpose as a joke, but they make it very believable.
About 75% convinced that is true. I hear like a two-hour interview with a guy who's been studying it for like 60 years, and he's got all kinds of proof, evidence, signed affidavits, and stuff that just absolutely doesn't make any sense that it wouldn't be that. So I'm probably 75% to 80% convinced that that's actually what happened.
Hey, you never know. Could be. So, yeah, tomorrow I got a long flight, probably about 8 hours or so. Not looking forward to that. I'm going to hopefully sleep some of it. Watch some movies. I got a bunch of stuff queued up on my tablet to watch. I watched the latest 1923, and I tried to watch some other thing on Netflix, but for whatever reason, it said it wasn't downloaded.
They're really dragging out that lady's journey back. you know, all this stuff happened to her. I mean, they're really dragging that out for like 6 episodes. It's getting crazy. It's like, you know, you know what I'm talking about, in case anyone out there is listening and hasn't seen it. They're just dwelling on that one situation. That Uncle Dave?
It is. Hold on a second, Jack. Yeah, I'm not. I won't give away any plots or anything in case people want to watch it. But yeah, they're just. In many cases, it's not just that one thing. It's other things too. How you going? How's it going, Jack? KF8S. KF8. DRC.
Very good. Have you had enough that Coke Zero?
Can never get tired of Coke Zero. It's got Splenda in it. But they have Coke Zero over here. They don't have Splenda, though. They have aspartame. It's the same thing, obviously. But all that good stuff. So tomorrow I start my journey back to Detroit.
That's good. So you got a long flight, correct?
Yep. Leave here around noon, I think, and then it arrives around 5 o'clock. I'll probably be talking to Eric in the car on his commute home if he's leaving at that time.
I will come back. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, well, it's always longer the way back because you're going like 100 miles an hour slower. One thing I did notice about your jet, or was it Gary's? Anyhow, your jet was like climbing like really steep, but it was already hitting like 600 miles an hour. Usually the jets don't hit their 600 mile an hour cruising speed until they get up to altitude and level off. You were like 15,000 feet on a pretty steep angle and you were already doing like 600. It's like, man, that guy's kicking it in the rear, you know, he's like, must be flooring that thing. But then when you got up to altitude, it just stayed there. You were like 600 miles an hour, like the whole trip.
Yep, yeah, no, it's, well, it's all computer controlled. The pilot doesn't intervene unless he has to, or her, whoever's flying the plane. And, yeah, it just goes, you know, in a programmed pattern. Pretty soon it'll be controlled by AI, right, Jack?
Yes, AI control everything. You're right about that. And what I was going to say, and that 10,000 mile radio control half of that.
Yeah, it's a 3,700 mile radio. I calculated it.
That's my mistake, because Eric never explained nothing right.
K4CYQ. You're in there, K4CYQ. No, it has the capability of 5,000, actually 5,000 kilometers. 5,000 kilometers equals 3,700 miles. Anyhow, the other braking station, go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. I don't think there's any ladies out there. This is KE4ZYC, Joe and Clinton Township. Whoever mentioned the, what is it? Geez, I forgot the name of it. Not Splenda, but whatever that sweetener was that you mentioned. Aspartame. I never have headaches. I haven't had a headache at all, anywhere close to a headache, since the 1960s, 1970s. Haven't had a headache, literally, to be honest. But when I bought some Recoli cough drops that had aspartame in it, I figured out after taking one of those cough drops, kind of feel like a headache coming on. And I'm being very serious. Just a slight headache. And then, what's the deal? Sinus headache? So I waited a while and it didn't have it, went away, and then I took a drop it. Dang, if I didn't look at the package, it said the aspartame or whatever, the sweetener in it. And I took it back, got a refund, and I haven't had a headache or even an inkling of a headache since then. So if you have anything with aspartame in it, or whatever, Splenda aspartame, if you get a headache, that might be the cause. Just thought I'd throw that in. Let me throw it over to Jack. check you for rotation, but I'll just be listening. KE4Z like you, the name is Joe.
Well, hello, Joe. How are you? Good to hear you out there. I gotta go back and get something to cook that way I can eat. So I will sign off KSA, DRC, and good to come back, Dave. We'll talk when you're coming back.
KSA, all right, good talking to you, Jack. Go get something to eat. Yeah, it's 13 after 10 over here. And Eric's almost home.
Yep, and so I'm throwing there. I'm one of those people that really never get headaches either. I mean, it's extremely rare and extremely, and if I do get one, it only lasts for a few minutes, so. But I don't know if, with me, I don't think it was aspartame or anything like that. I don't know what it was, but, yeah. But I get a lot of back pain, so I don't know what's worse. Anyway, I'm pulling up in the driveway, gentlemen, so I will be probably back on the air on the other radio when I get inside. So, hey, Dave, I'm sure you'll be out there for a few more hours. You're not anywhere near ready to fall asleep yet. Catch everybody in a bit. W8EAP.
73. Talk to you later. KFAS.
Man, you're making a good trip. KEATFM.
KA8UGQ Mobile Monitoring.
Who's that monitoring in AWO?
This is KA8UGQ.
KA8UGQ in AWO. How you doing?
I shopped for the night and heading to the homestead. Thought I'd fire the rig up and see if anybody was around. I'm over in Clarkston getting into the West Bloomfield repeater. Go ahead.
And you know the frequency to that repeater?
You'll have to give me a sec on it. I don't know it off the top of my head, I'm afraid. I'm new to the world of 440. Okay, I heard it, it's a chunk. I didn't know if you put something else out there.
Really? Any dope, Joe.
Okay, it's a 442-500.
Oh, you on the field machine. Yeah, I'm on 442-600. Okay.
Where are you located at?
Oh, I'm in Detroit. Over here by Hillsing and 96.
Okay, roger that. I only learned about this system not too long ago when I finally picked up a dual bander and discovered that it's quite interconnected between quite a few different receivers. Go ahead.
It kind of scratches. I couldn't catch all what you're saying there. But you said you went to Kansas.
Sorry, I missed the very end of the last one. There is a little bit of noise coming in with your transmission.
Okay, let me boost up my power a little bit. Hold on. Okay, is that in here? Yeah, let me see. That's 15 watts. How is that? Is that better?
Yep, it definitely stepped it up quite a bit. Almost full quieting, but definitely a lot more audio in there.
Yeah, roger. So you are in the, what town are you in?
Well, I'm in Clarkston right now, just getting ready to cross over into Waterford. And as I understand it, this repeater is on Orchard Lake Road, not too far from Walnut Lake Road in West Bloomfield.
Yeah, Phil's machine is over there, yeah. The 4426, I've seen the 442500. And like I said, I'm on the 442600, and I believe that's on the east side, somewhere on the east side of, outside of Detroit, Israel.
Okay, yeah, real good. Back in the day, I've been off for quite a long time here. We didn't have repeaters linked up like this, I don't think. But, yeah, I'm just on one of those cheap little dual-band HTs, probably about 5 watts at most, and got a little window mount bracket for the rubber duck on the car window, so it seems to be working okay. Finally was able to start doing a little bit of mobile operating. This is KAAUGQ. Go ahead.
Okay, KAAUGQ and AWJL. So you were licensed a while back, and then all of a sudden you got back, you stopped talking for a while and got back in the hobby, or how was that?
Actually, my first license was in 1969, and of course I was quite a bit younger than I am now, but that's back when you got a novice license, and if you didn't upgrade, it expired in 2 years. So it wasn't until 1984 I got back in and went from novice to general, which, of course, you're able to keep renewing, and was on the air until about 1993, and then didn't get back on until last October. So a whole lot of new stuff for me here. By the way, the name is Mark, Mike Alfa Romeo Kilo. Go ahead.
Yeah, Roger, Mark. His name is Dave Philadelphia Yankee, and yeah. He's going way back there. I didn't even know about ham radio until around the 70s, or 60s. Around, I guess, late 70s when I found out about ham radio, because I was like in the CB there, Roger.
Yeah, the funny thing is I got my ham license and all my buddies had CBs. Then they got their ham licenses, and I thought it was cool to be able to talk and not just do Morse code. So I got a CB, but all told, I've always liked CW a lot better anyway. It's what I primarily do out of the home shack now that I'm set up, but kind of crossing over to a lot of things, a little high frequency, VHF, Morse code, whatever I can do. Happy to be back in it. But nice to meet you. Now, were you from this area back in the 70s?
Yeah, Roger. I wasn't licensed, though. I had friends that was licensed, and I had to go to Dayton with them and stuff like that, but I didn't get my license till 92, go ahead.
The reason I asked is because I didn't know if you remember the old Lafayette radio chain, and I had worked at the one in Farmington Hills way back in the day as well, and that was, you know, stereo and CB and a little bit of ham radio on the side there. Go ahead.
I didn't even know they had a Lafayette in Farmington Hills. I know they had one in the Oak Park in downtown Detroit, but I didn't even know. Whereabouts in Farmington Hills?
They were right on Orchard Lake Road, a 13-mile road, and they were part of the expansion. One guy owned the entire Metro Detroit chain, and at one time he was up to 13 stores, and I think ours was either number 12 or number 13. I've been to the Oak Park store. A good friend of mine worked in the downtown Birmingham store, which is how I got my first introduction to Lafayette Radio, so I tagged along with him one time. Heck, I was in high school working there, and when they opened the one in Farmington Hills, I was able to talk my way into a job. But at any rate, Yeah, they were a pretty good sized chain locally, and then of course everybody folded it up. AAAUGQ.
Yeah, NAWJL. Huh. Wow, you learn something new every day. I remember when I used to go downtown, went downtown Detroit, and then I remember when they opened Oak Park, and I started going over there, and I had no idea they had several more Lafayette. I mean, other than Lafayette, I used to go to Olsen's Electronics, and we had two of them in Detroit, one in Olsen downtown, and then they had Olsen's Electronic, on the east side, rather. On the east side and Olsen on the west side over here by Greenfield and Grand River or something like that. You remember Olsen's Electronic?
Yes, I do. I never got to one, but, you know, there were quite a few of smaller independent chains, too, or just independent stores. A lot of shopping we used to do for the obscure or hardcore amateur radio stuff was out of Ann Arbor store called Purchase Radio Supply. And, again, my buddy who worked at Lafayette, we had to make a road trip there to get some little 50-cent component you couldn't pick up anywhere else because it was kind of specialized. But, yeah, there used to be a proliferation of them. And, of course, there was Candy and Radio Shack, and they outlasted us, but... You know, they all seem to have gone by the wayside now.
Radio Shack, yeah. It was pretty big back in the days, you know. They had a few other little electronic stuff. I can't think of the name. Start with an R, but I can't think of the name, but they had a few of them there, you know. But I was always dealing with, like I said, Lafayette and Olsen. I never forget I first got my first base station radio from Lafayette. I had a Lafayette Concept 25B, 23 count radio, two type, and with a super range boost, two antenna. At that time, I was living at home, and I used to have fun with that radio when I first got it there. But as time went on, you know, I sort of got a little advanced, and I didn't find out about ham radio until I had a 8-band radio, and I was turning the knob, and I happened to run into listening to the 2 meters here and stuff like that. So, and then my friends they heard it, I could hear on the 8-band radio, because one of the VHF used to go from let's see how did that thing go on 147 all the way up to 174. The knob, you could turn it, and I just turned that knob, and I could hear people talking on 2 meters. Didn't know at the time, and then I told my friends, and we heard they was having a swap at that time in Hazel Park, and went to swap and everything, and that's how my friends, they got their license way before me, and I just couldn't get that Morse code. But at that time, they had the novice, tech, general, and extra. Roger? No, it's novice, tech, general, advanced, and extra. How about that?
Yeah, novice is 5 words. General went up to 10, I think it was. And trying to remember, or if it was 13, But for the extra, I think you had to do 20. And the funny thing is I passed the extra class code test in the 80s, but I could never get the theory, so I bombed on that. But after 40-some years, I finally buckled down in January this year and went and did the upgrade. Just like to grab that extra little bit at each end of the band where the extra class CW guys get to hang out. But anyway, Jay, I just pulled into my driveway over here. I'm going to have to shut it down and head inside and see what awaits me there. But it was nice to meet you on the air here. And I'm usually leaving this on now back and forth to work, which only lasts me about 10 minutes, but it's fun to meet people. So anyway, hope you have a good rest of the evening, 73, and I'll be clear on your final. This is KAAUGQ.
Alright, KAAUGQ, NAW. Yeah, nice talking to you, and I hope we'll run into you again. And you said your name was, what was your name, Mike?
Mark, Mike Alpha Romeo Kilo, Mark.
Oh, okay, Mark. Well, have a good one, and we'll hear you around. I'm always scanning around the band there, so have a good night. 73, this is November 8th. We're just sleeping.
KF8DQP, listening in.
Well, that sounds like a pretty new call sign. KF8, question mark.
You are right. It is a new call sign. Freshly minted about a week ago.
Wow. Give me your call again.
KF8DQP.
Okay. You know, I like keeping up with the calls there. I like keeping up and find out where they're at. See, DQP. Okay, so, and you had the license for a week or two or something like that. Yeah, I remember when it used to be KD8, KC8, KD8, KE8, and now it's KF8. And it won't be long, I imagine. Well, I guess it's probably another year or two, couple years, maybe. And it'll be KG8, what do you think?
Interesting. I did not realize that's how it incremented.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I got my license, it was N8. I'm an N8, and let's see, you know, the old calls were like maybe WA, or either K-8, something like that. Yeah, K-8, and so on, but. And then all of a sudden it started making it K, like I said, K-V-8, K-C-8, K-V-8, and all on there. So I imagine the next round, like I said, it'll probably be K-G-8. So, yeah. Just look it up on the QR says. You'll see there.
If you have a quick second, my little girl and boy wanted to say hi.
Oh yeah, I got a few seconds. Hello, and what's your kid's name there? The name here is Jay.
Manila.
Their names are Mayla and James.
Okay, hello there, Mayla and James. I take it you have a girl and boy?
Yes, I do. They're two wonderful kids.
Well, if you mind me asking, how old are they?
Not sure how well it came through.
Five?
That's 5 and 3.
Well, brother. I remember my kids was that young. I got grandkids that young now. Man. Yes, sir. I got a granddaughter she's 12, and I got two grandsons. One is One is seven. Yeah, seven. And the other one is, I guess he is a little over a year old now.
Well, that's wonderful. Congratulations.
All right, just thank you. And I'm going to tell you, they grow up fast.
So, we're having dinner right
now. Hey, Dad, you're going to have to help me out on that one.
He gets pretty shy. He said, we're having dinner right now.
Okay. Well, you have a fine day and enjoy the dinner. That's what I need to be doing, getting you some dinner there. So, hey, nice talking to you, and hope we catch you in there another time. Hey, before I go, you mind me asking, what type of equipment do you have there?
Right now, I just have the Baofeng UV-5R, just a little handheld, and I'm just considering, I don't know really what I should get next.
Well, there's so many. Do you live in an apartment? Do you live in a townhouse? Do you live in a single house? If you mind me asking.
Yeah, we live in the house, so I could put up a little antenna or something.
Yeah. I live in a bungalow, and I got a 16-element beam up here on top of the chimney there, and this is about 40 feet in the air. It's eight on VHF, eight on UHF, which is 2 meters up for 40 there. And I really enjoy this beam. I turn around just like with a rotor, and I can get into when the band opens up. I get into Michigan, Cincinnati, Ohio, Cleveland, Ohio, and Akron, Ohio, and Fort Wayne, Indiana. All around, yeah. I really enjoy 2 meters and 440 when the band opens up there, Greg.
Wow, that's amazing. I didn't realize you could reach Fort Wayne and some of those other places in Ohio. That's incredible.
Well, the band, you know, you can't reach it all the time. You know, the band in this condition, when it opens up, you can talk a long ways on 2 meters. Not so far on UHF, but 2 meters. I have myself a ball there. I mean, I got a general class license, which I got HF as well. But for some reason, I just love talking on 2 meters. So far as distance, getting in Grand Rapids and all that. It's fun when the band opens up and they have a net going on in Grand Rapids, and they says, okay, we take your check-ins, and they says, your name, call sign, and your location. I tell them my name and my call sign and the location, Detroit. This is, wow, Detroit, man, that's a long haul.
That's super cool. Yeah, I know the repeater in Mount Clemens is on the 2-meter band. I'm going to have to play around with that a little bit more.
Yeah, roger, roger. Well, all right, I won't hold you up, sir, and hey, enjoy the hobby. And I hope I catch you in there another time, but I'm going to get to jump out of here and jump in the mobile and get me something to munch on. So with that, you and the family, enjoy. This is November 8th. We're just leaving.
Great talking with you. Say again, what was your call sign?
Well, sometimes we put a little, instead of using the prefix on the end, we've always put a little extra in there. But my call sign, my original call sign is November 8th, Whiskey, Juliet Lima, N8W Dale. Copy?
Copy. Have a great night.
Please.
KF8 DQP.
But before I go, do you have Echolink? N.A.W. Joker.
Good evening, 1900 hours. Mostly cloudy. 50 degrees.
W-E-A-P, KF-80, well.
Good evening, 2000 hours. Cloudy. 47 degrees.
W-A-E-A-P, KF-80-Y-L.
NAKPP testing.
Coming in loud and clear as usual. KEAWUO.
Good evening. 21 hours. Clear. 44 degrees. Good evening. 22 hours. Mostly clear. 45 degrees. Good evening, 23 hours. Clear. 41 degrees.